Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Cool, it's great to be here. It's a blessing to be able to share the word. And we had the privilege to be at a wedding last night of a couple that we did a marriage prep course with recently. And I must say, it was such a blessing. Most of the couple themselves haven't been in church very long. And I think quite a number of the friends and family are not churchgoers. And so I know definitely some of them don't know the Lord at all. But what a blessing to experience the presence of God in that place. Do you know that the Lord will never miss the wedding of one of His children? He's there. It was such a blessing, such a presence of God there. And it's always interesting for me because often people that don't know the presence of God, and they come afterwards and they thank me and they say nice things about what I said, but I almost want to tell each of them it's nothing to do with what I said. It's because the King of Kings was there. That's why it was special. That's why it was different. But praise God for that. So let's just pray as we get into the Word. God, we thank You that we can know Your presence here. We thank You that it's free, Lord, but it didn't come cheap. Thank You that You paid the highest price that we can know Your presence intimately. And we thank You that, Lord, we don't take it lightly. This evening we want to grab a hold of this opportunity, Lord, to draw near together as a church family, to hear Your word, to experience Your transforming presence, God. And we ask that You would have Your way in us and through us. And we ask that Your name will be glorified in us and through us this evening. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're getting to the end of the year. Lots of stuff happening. Hopefully most will get a chance to take a break. And as we do, if you do have an opportunity to take it easy for a few days, I want to really encourage you to take some time out to be a bit quiet before God. I know, if you're going to be with friends or family, there's normally lots going on, and having such amazing weather as we have here, it's always something to do. But I want to really encourage you to schedule time out to get quiet before God and just to reflect back on the year and to also look forward a bit, just to stand still a bit and just really pray through it a little bit. I mean, that's what we're going to look at this evening a bit. And I don't know if you've seen this meme. It's a new word for me. But anyway, so there's this thing that I haven't seen it recently, but I saw it a while ago. It's this little video clip thing of, the caption is, "My year so far, thus far." And it's a few different things. You know, maybe the one is the guy falling down the stairs and it's just getting worse and worse and just, you know, doesn't end well at all. Or one going down like a slide and the bumps just get worse and the guy by the end is just all over the place and it just doesn't look pretty. And we have a good laugh about it. And, you know, some of us can say, yes, you know what, I had a similar year to that. It's been a bit rough. I feel like I've gone 12 rounds against Mike Tyson. You know, I've had it from all sides. I've lost half my ear. I think the older guys will get that one. But in any case, so so we have a good laugh about it. But I want us to stand still just for a moment nearing the end of the year and really choose to not focus on the negative stuff, but to be aware of the difficulties and the challenges that we've been through this year, but at the same time, to choose to say, Lord, in all of this, You are good. To celebrate His faithfulness, to celebrate His goodness toward us. And you know, often when we chat to mission teams or when we go on mission, we kind of put a warning out there or an encouragement that at the end of a mission team, end of a mission trip, for guys to be extra vigilant, especially what some of these very long ones we used to do in the past 6 weeks or something like that. You know, towards the end, it's so important to stay vigilant, to stay in prayer, to stay focused. Because what we've found is that the enemy, the one that we are coming up against as we preach the gospel, as we carry the presence of God, he has one thing that he wants to do at the end of a season, at the end of a mission trip, at the end of a year like this. And what he would like us, he wants us to have a bitter taste at the end of a season or at the end of the year. If he has his way, the enemy would like us to go into the new year discouraged and with a heaviness or focusing on the negatives, focusing on the difficulties. And so I often encourage the guys on mission team to just really be aware of that and be vigilant and don't allow that stuff to come in. Don't be, you know, be vigilant in prayer, be vigilant in your thoughts and what you meditate on, so that we can actually deal with the difficulties and celebrate the good things that God has done in our lives and really go into the next year or the next season with full of faith, you know, full of an expectation of the goodness of God. Amen? So be aware of that, and let's have a look at Hebrews. Sorry. Hebrews chapter 12. From verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, before I get into the scripture itself, have you noticed that sometimes, like this chapter 12, starts with therefore? Now, it's important to just keep in the back of your mind that when the writer to the Hebrews wrote this letter, which was a letter, he didn't write it with chapters and verses, right? So the guys that put in the chapters and verses later on to make it easier for us to find stuff in the Bible, which we're very grateful for, they obviously sometimes had to just divide stuff up. So this is very clearly not the beginning of his thought pattern here, his thought train. Are you with me? So whenever you read a therefore, do yourself a favor to get the whole deal. Make sure you read the wherefore for the therefore. Yeah. So in this case, the wherefore that comes before the therefore is Hebrews chapter 11, which we're not going to read now, but go and read it this evening if you want. And one of my favorite chapters, it's called the chapter of faith, some people call it. It deals with the outworking of faith, and it lists a whole bunch of heroes of the faith. It's really challenging, but it's also really encouraging. It speaks of what the guys, the mighty men and women of God in Scripture, what they endured to see the promise of, to pursue and to the kingdom of God and to see his promises fulfilled, and how many of them walked in obedience, walked in faith without seeing the end of the promise fulfilled. Like Abraham, you know, walking in obedience, doing what God called him to do, with the promise in mind that God was going to bless him with thousands of descendants, thousands and thousands, and more than the sand, the sea, and the stars in the sky, you know, that kind of, remember those images. And he had only one son. Yeah, that was it. But the power of the faith of walking in that promise and pursuing the purpose of God and walking in obedience, even if you haven't seen it. Anyway, so that's what's coming, that's what's going on before this. And then he says, therefore, because of all these giants of the faith, because of these incredible guys that have gone before us, that have bled and died for the sake of the gospel, that have opened the way for us. Because of this, and because of the, they are now surrounding us as a cloud of witnesses. With this in mind, let us lay aside every weight. And that's the kind of the picture I had of us ending this year, or ending a season, in this case coming to the end of the year, is to be careful to not to go into the new year with all the weights of this year, right? Now, I haven't been cycling a lot lately, so I must confess, but at heart, I'm a mountain biker, okay? It's probably going to be one of my New Year's, I don't like the word resolution, plans. Anyway, so the thing with mountain biking is if you're going to go more than like 5Ks or something, you don't want to have extra weight. Okay, this makes sense. It's not rocket science. If you're going to be traveling any distance where you have to provide the energy for the traveling, you want to reduce the weight as much as possible. Amen? You with me? So it's not unknown that amongst mountain biders, they call these guys that are very serious about this, they call them weight weenies. Okay? And they would go to extreme lengths to get weight off their bicycle. Now, a friend of mine, Andres, he's a pastor in Hermanus. We were living and working together in the UK. And he actually, at that point, he calculated that if you get below about 9.5 kilograms, which is actually quite light for a mountain bike, if you get around 10, 9.5 kilograms, it becomes extremely expensive to get the bike lighter than that. In fact, he's calculated, this is just free information, by the way, he's calculated that at that point, right around that point, it costs about between 500 and 1,000 pounds for every 500 grams. I think the mountain bikers would probably agree with me. The problem is that when you get to those kind of components that are that light and that are that good, then the price you pay for that kind of bicycle, it costs more than a brand new Volkswagen Polo, for instance. Throwing it out there. And so what I've found with after a lot of scientific research, I found it's much cheaper to lose some weight here. So that's my strategy. It's not working so well at this point, but anyway, so the point is we're running the race of life. We're running it with endurance, and we want to get rid of every weight that's extra. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here. He says, lay aside every weight. And the picture I had preparing was, you know, even you know, if we've come through this year and there's been some difficult times, maybe you're telling me, Yaki, I had a great year. There's been no hiccups, nothing. It's been just amazing. I've just had victory after victory. Then I'm going to say, praise the Lord. How much more reason for you to celebrate God's faithfulness? But if you can relate and saying there have been some tough times this year, then I feel what God wants us to do this evening is to at least commit to taking some time out in the next couple of weeks to stand still and say, Lord, search our hearts and say, Lord, what are the stuff that I must cast aside? What are the weights that I need to cast aside before I go into the next year? What are the stuff that I need to cast off? And I'll just have a look quickly at Joshua chapter 4 just to illustrate something. Came out a bit small, so just listen. From verse 4, then Joshua, now this is the context of Joshua and the nation of Israel, they're entering the promised land. Okay, so this is it, it's happening. God has given the command, the river is in flood, but God has commanded them to go by foot through the river, which is impossible. And they're walking through the river by faith. And as they touch, as the feet of the priests going ahead with the Ark of the Covenant, as they touch the water stops. All right? And they are able to pass through. Now, the Lord gives him very clear instructions, and this is when they obey those instructions. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so. And then verse 9, and then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Now, so what they did is they put the stones in the middle of the river, massive pile of big as you can carry kind of stones, as a memorial to this incredible miracle that God had done. And they did another one where they camped. So the point is that years down the line, you think of this powerful picture, this maybe a little boy walking down the river asking his grandfather, why is there a pile of stones in the middle of this huge river? How did we get that bunch of stones there? And that powerful moment when that grandfather can say, son, that day, God did this incredible miracle for us. And there's a powerful thing here, that principle that we need to take hold of is that God, that we need to position ourselves to a place where we are regularly committed to building memorials in our lives of what God does. And I want to encourage you that part of your time of being quiet before God at the end of the year to say, Lord, what memorials can I build? Whether you write it down, or we're going to chat a bit more about it a bit later, however you build it, but so that I can celebrate and declare the goodness and faithfulness of God. Okay. Let's go on. So let's look at some of these weights. So the challenge with these weights is that they slow us down. We're going to look at a few of what it means or what it could be. Slow us down, cause us to get tired and discouraged. And you know, often if we don't deal with some of these things properly and we don't allow our hearts to be restored, we get tired spiritually. Our hearts get a bit hardened. It's something we need to really guard against. You know, if you've been through a difficult patch and maybe a bit of offense or maybe a bit of hurt, disillusionment, we can look at those now. There's often a great danger of our hearts becoming a little bit hard, becoming us becoming a little bit careful and kind of building up a wall, and we harden our hearts and we struggle to trust God. And there's a real danger of this. So there's something to look out for. And what they also do, these weights, is they steal our joy. You know, the joy of the Lord, the joy that we have in Christ, in God, is not dependent upon what's going on around me. It's not dependent upon whether I've had a good coffee or not. Although today, I must say, it's going well. Now, but it's not dependent upon how my day's been or what my salary is. The joy that I have in Christ is there irrespective of my circumstance. So these things, these weights, they often want to steal our joy as well. So be careful of that. And then they tend to drain our faith and our resolve. They tend to, instead of building up our faith, if we hang on to these things, they tend to drain our faith. They tend to tap and take away spiritual energy and even physical energy if we don't deal with them properly. Okay, are you still with me? All right, so let's look at these weights. So at the end of this year, trust God. Holy Spirit is going to point out some to you this evening. But when you take time out, pray and ask Holy Spirit to show you what are the stuff that you need to throw off. Maybe weights of offense. We chatted about that a couple of times the last few weeks. Offense maybe with God, or offense with a person, a colleague, a church leader. Could be a whole bunch of things, but you know, it's if there's been something like that, and you know, if you've picked up a bit of hurt or there's a good test. If you talk about it or you tell somebody about it, is there still a bit of a pain there? Is it still sensitive? You know, if you've been disappointed or hurt or there's been a bit of a disillusionment, and you talk about it, you share about it with someone, when you do that, is it a difficult thing to do for you? Is it painful to do it, to talk about it? And if it is, then I want to suggest that there may be still some healing that needs to happen. And that you need to trust God to complete that restoration. You know, scars aren't necessarily a bad thing. I have a whole bunch of them. And if you have time one day, we can talk about all of them. But a whole lot of them came at one specific time when I was about 4. And we were living in Germany at that stage, and we were living in a flat, and there was this long corridor with this very solid wooden frame with a glass panel in the middle. Yes, and I ran through it. Any boy's dream, you know, that kind of stunt. But the problem is that I had just gotten out of the bath, because you run faster. You know, every guy knows that you run faster when you've just been out of the bath and have no clothes on. Anyway, so I was running at 4 years old down the corridor, and my brakes failed, and I went straight through, and I landed up kind of hanging over the glass like this. And any case, so lots of scars, lots of pieces of glass everywhere. And I remember actually going to the hospital, and the doctors were kind of a little bit suspicious of the situation. So as they were kind of getting all the glass pieces out of me, they asked me kind of, so that my parents can't hear, what really happened? You know, they were suspicious of this dodgy foreign family and poor guy full of glass. Any case, so lots of scars, and not big ones, just a few bigger ones, lots of small ones. But the point is, I don't even notice them anymore. But if I see one, there's one here on my hand, big one. If I push on it, there's no pain. It's big and it's ugly, and I can tell you the story, but there's no pain there. But if there's a wound that when you press on it, or there's still a bit of pain there, then you need to deal with that. You need to trust God to have that healed and restored. The scar afterwards, when there's no more pain, the scar is a remembrance of the faithfulness of God, that I wasn't killed that day, or that He brought me through that difficult time. So the scars aren't a bad thing. You know, they can be a testimony. But if it's still painful, I want to really encourage you to pray with somebody in your small group, or work through it with God, and trust for that restoration. Okay. Disappointment and disillusionment. Guys, this is reality. We often so heavy spiritual. We often don't even acknowledge if something like this has happened. Maybe you've trusted God for something specific. You've really gone all out. You've prayed and fasted. You were so sure of yourself. This is what God wants to, and this is what, you know, this is what you're trusting for. And then things just went completely different. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's with a job or a career or many different things. But the reality is we face disappointments like that. And I want to really encourage us, don't put it under the carpet. Don't ignore it. But be honest with God about it. Bring it before Him. Say, Lord, I really trusted You for this. And maybe I did miss God, and acknowledge that we do miss God. But bring your heart before Him and say, Lord, I was hurt, or I was disappointed. My faith really took a knock in that situation. And you know what? When we are honest with God and when we are humble before God in that situation, I'm not saying be angry and don't throw your toys. You know that saying, throw your toys out the cart. It's true, eh? Just saying. It's real. They do it. Chuck stuff. Kiddies. Anyway, it's very funny to see, and you're like, what? This is for real. Anyway, so don't do that. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before God, but be real with God. And this is what I feel like. This is what happened. This is what I experienced. Lord, won't you come and heal my heart? And at that moment, it's so important for us to say, Lord, I choose to trust You, because Your ways are higher than my ways. And I don't understand, but You know, and Your way is better than my way. So even though I was disappointed, even though I may be disillusioned, I choose to put my trust in You, because I know that You always have my best. You have the best in store for me, and Your way is better than my way. Okay. We've spoken a bit about hurt. And then there's some of these weights that we tend to take up again, even though Christ has paid the price. He's paid for our shame. He's paid for our guilt and our sin. Obviously, He's paid that we don't have to carry the weight of condemnation anymore. He's paid that price. And if you find yourself taking up that weight again, if you find yourself receiving accusation from the enemy about your past, trust God to lay it down again at the cross. Amen. It's a crazy thing that happens when we've been believers for a while, is we get so spiritual that we become more spiritual than God. And you're like, yes, you know what, I'm such a good Christian now. We start having an expectation of ourselves and our own ability and our own spirituality to a point where if we don't get things right, if we don't tick all the boxes and if we don't perform up to our expectation, we fall under our own condemnation. And there's a funny thing that happens, that we feel we can add something to the cross by performing or by trying to be a better Christian. And just guard against that. Cast off the weight of guilt and shame and condemnation. Amen. And then there's anxiety and fears, and maybe you're in a position where there's a lot of unknowns about next year, or there's some daunting things lying ahead. Maybe some things that you've wrestled with this year, and you found yourself gripped by anxiety or fear, or just so many challenges about that, what's lying ahead. I want to really encourage you to grab a hold of the grace of God, to cast off those weights of anxiety and fear, because they tend to paralyze us. Amen? They tend to just completely immobilize us. Okay, let's look quickly at Hebrews chapter 12, just a little bit further on in the chapter. Pursue peace with all people. It's a challenging one right there. Just throwing it out there. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And this is one of the big dangers of if we don't deal with these heart issues, is that there's the bitterness that wants to come up. And I don't know about you, I know one or two people that somewhere from far off, you can smell the bitterness. It's not pretty. And the person doesn't even, often aren't, they're not aware of it. But through many kind of things, and things not dealt with, and things not wrestled through with God, there's a bitterness that wants to come in. So let's guard against that. Let's trust God to keep our hearts soft, pliable, so that He can mold us and shape us. Okay. All right, let's look at 1 Peter briefly. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's two well-known scriptures, and we often don't realize they're in context. So that context of us casting our cares upon Christ, upon God, is a very real thing in terms of the enemy trying to put these cares upon us and us weighed down by them, even trying to steal, kill, and destroy, going around like a roaring lion. And so be vigilant, be aware of that, and be bold to cast your cares upon Him. I mean, there's been one or two situations in my life. I remember, maybe some of you may have heard the story, but when Anna and I were getting married, that's 10 years ago. It's a bit crazy. But anyway, so literally like 3 months ago, 10 years and 3 months ago, I came back from a mission trip to India, and we were about to get married. We were preparing everything, and I'd spent every cent I had on getting us to India, right? I'm not exaggerating. I think I had 1,000 rand somewhere in some long-term deposit that was it. Okay. And I was full of faith because God had done amazing things. And I was full of faith and expectation. So I booked the most amazing honeymoon. In faith. With like nothing on my name, right? So, praise the Lord. Yeah. Anyway, not to Warmbad or something like that, which is blessed. Okay, I'm not saying it's bad to go to Warmbad. I'm just saying, because I grew up in this area, I thought I'd try and go a bit further. Anyway, so I booked this honeymoon. We were going to visit Singapore and Thailand and more than one island in Thailand. You know, really not holding back. Okay. So then when by the time I had to pay, I still had no money. And it was a bit of a surprise for me because when I was booking it, I thought, I got about 5 months. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to save up money. But I was quite surprised because they didn't wait 5 months to ask for the money. They waited like 1 month or two. You know, and then it was a bit awkward. But I remember going to Pastor Sias and I said, Sias, I made such a fool of myself. I booked this thing and I don't have a cent on my name. And I remember him, it was after Bible school one evening. And I remember sitting down and he just said to me, Yaku, you started this thing in faith. You must end it in faith. And we sat down and I prayed this scripture. I said, Lord, I choose. Because I was at that point like physically ill with stress, okay? I was like not doing well. And I don't normally stress like that. And I was like really not. And I remember just deciding and taking authority over that stress, casting it off. And I said, Lord, I cast my cares upon you. Guys, the most crazy thing started to happen. I mean, people that I don't even know. There was the one guy I met him for the third time. He just said, listen, I don't know why, but this morning God said to me, I must write you a check, but it's specifically for your honeymoon. I was like, yeah, really? 5,000 rand check, there you go. Random SMS is saying, send me your bank details. This is just a temporary number. I don't know who it is to this day. Send me your bank details, the money coming in. When I looked again, everything was paid. But guys, it was such a powerful thing for me because I was really going under this weight now. I was really wrestling with those cares and that stress. And I remember praying this, and I want to really encourage you. This is God, He cares for us. Amen. And we had an amazing honeymoon. I can tell you the stories. It was about 3 weeks long also. I was really blessed. Anyways. So now the pressure's on for the 10-year anniversary. So please pray. Okay. Okay. So instead of going under these weights, there's something that we need to put on instead. And the scripture often speaks of the cloak of humility, it speaks of the garment of praise, and it's really an apt image for me because you want to wear it, right? It's a lifestyle, something that you want to make part of who you are, part of your identity. And in biblical times, often what you wore would identify you. So it's, you know, if you remember the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was coming through Jericho, I think it was. And this guy called Blind Bartimaeus, he was known as Blind Bartimaeus because he was the guy there at the road begging, blind from birth. And he heard Jesus was coming past and he just started going ballistic and calling out the name of Jesus, calling out to him. People were trying to shut him up, but he just kept going louder until Jesus called him to himself. And go and read it again, it's amazing. And the most powerful part for me of that story is not the fact that he was completely healed, which is obviously amazing, but that when he got up to go to Jesus, blind Bartimaeus threw off his coat. Because that coat, the significant thing about that coat, that garment or that robe or whatever you want to call it, is what identified him as a beggar. And he would have a specific one that identified him as somebody that is able to sit there and beg because of his disability. And can you imagine this man, blind from birth, knows nothing else, been a beggar as long as he can remember, hearing that Jesus is coming past, and that day he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus calls him, he gets up and he throws off that thing that says, "You're blind and you're a beggar." He leaves it behind. Amen. Isn't that a great sign of his faith? His expectation that today my life is going to change. So this is the powerful picture of us throwing off that stuff, but then putting on something else. Putting on our identity in Christ. Putting on our cloak of humility. Putting on a garment of praise. And this is so apt because it's a lifestyle. It's something that we want to wear. It's something that we want to be part of who we are. So I want to just run through these very briefly. The part of the process of throwing off the weights is coming to God in humility. Amen. Recognizing that maybe some of the stuff I've wrestled through has been because I've made bad choices. Maybe because I've missed God. Maybe because I've removed myself from the blessing of God. So acknowledging, "Lord, I need you to bring me back, and I need you to forgive and to heal and to restore." Forgiveness. When we have been wronged, if we've been hurt, if we've been offended, to extend forgiveness. Guys, unforgiveness is one of the most powerful chains that keeps us bound to our past. And that's one thing that you don't want to take with you into the new year. Amen? So, rather walk in forgiveness. Put on a garment of praise, as we've seen. Come into a habit of thanksgiving. Walking in contentment. And that overflows in us really coming to a place where we can worship God in spirit and truth. Okay. Now, I want to really encourage us, even at the end of this year, many of us will be spending time with friends and family. I want to be bold. Trust God for opportunities to say to guys, maybe around a dinner table, having meals, asking God, "Listen, why don't we all share just one thing from this year that we're really thankful for?" And trust God for opportunities to declare His goodness, to testify. Amen. There's a powerful place where we position ourselves, where we build memorials for the faithfulness and goodness of God, and we are able to testify. And that's part of our overcoming. I'm going to read that now. And actually, just read that quickly from. Let's read Psalm 37 first there. "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Powerful place where we are so aware and constantly aware of His faithfulness that it nourishes us. It builds our faith. We feed off His faithfulness and we delight ourselves in the Lord. Okay, in Revelation 12, "And they overcame Him." This is the enemy, the devil. "They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Powerful place where we use testimony as a weapon. Isn't that amazing? Where I choose to build a memorial, where I choose to testify, knowing that in that I am overcoming. Yes, I've been through a rough time. Yes, I've been through heavy, challenging times this year, maybe. But this is what God has done. This is who God is in my life. We overcome by the blood of Jesus and by the word of our testimony. Now, a friend of mine, Janko, he's on the apostolic team. He's at HQ in Stellenbosch, now in Franschhoek. We've been friends for a couple of years, and I don't think he will mind me telling you this. But when he was an undergrad student, he was really struggling. And it cost a lot of prayer and a lot of fasting to get him through his degree. Okay. Now, I'm not exaggerating, guys. There were times where he was this close to being blacklisted, can't study anymore. There were times where there was all kinds of other things, you know, and we just had to pray some more, and we had to fast, and we had to trust God. And it's not like I was the model student. I'm just saying, he really had a tough time. And I remember us having a massive party when he actually got his degree, which he did get in the end, plant pathology. But he went on to do a master's. And then he did a doctorate as well. Did a PhD. So this guy, I'm just saying, yeah, give the guys a break that are struggling undergrad, okay? Some of them are just picking up speed. Amen. He had so many supplementaries. Is that what they called it? Hara? They called him Herman at one stage. Because it was just so many hara. Anyway. Net a grappie. Okay. But anyway, so it was such a blessing to see. But now he works for the church, right? Now he's a pastor. He works for the church. He has been working for a couple of years. But what he does deliberately is he puts up his PhD in a place where people can see it. And it's not because he's trying to brag. It's because he's looking for an opportunity to share what God has done. And people say, what? Do you have a PhD in some plant science thing? Incredibly complicated stuff. Why are you working for the church? And then there's this massive open door for him to share this incredible testimony. And he's got such a good habit, and I'm really learning from him about this. And I want to encourage us to do the same. Be deliberate. Put stuff up in your house. He's got I think he's got something from his first comrades there as well. And that's an incredible story. You must hear it from him one day. Incredible testimonies, opportunities, putting stuff in his house, in his office, that people can say, what is that about? And we can say, you know what, let me tell you about that thing. Creating opportunities for us to testify, to use our testimony as a weapon, to really trust God to minister to that person. So take time out at the end of this year, build memorials, put up photos, maybe you start with Facebook, you know, that's a good place where everybody is these days. Print out some photos, put it in a frame, maybe it's your graduation photo, maybe there's a testimony around that. You know, when I look at photos of our children, somebody managed to take a photo of all three of them. And I don't know if you've seen it, I've put it on Facebook because it's so rare. All three of them sort of facing the camera at the same time. Eh? Okay, clearly you don't know how big a miracle that is, but there's a one-year-old there as well, okay? And they're all kind of looking reasonably happy. It's amazing. They are happy, it's just difficult to get it on film and on camera. In any case, and you know what, I want to put that somewhere and say, you know what, there was a time when, medically speaking, I wasn't able to have any children. You know, we can put these things up there and declare the glory of God. Amen. So build those memorials, be deliberate about it, and trust God for Him to minister to others through it. Amen. Okay, we're going to close. If you want to stand with me this evening. Okay, so two things. Firstly, for us and I trust the Holy Spirit to really press on some specific things in our hearts this evening. But I want to really encourage you to take time out the next couple of weeks. Schedule yourself a couple of hours when you're able to just be quiet before God. Say, Lord, show me if there's stuff that I'm carrying with me. Weights that I need to cast aside. And then, very importantly, build those memorials. Say, God, I'm in awe of your faithfulness. Look at what God has done in my life. Look what He's brought me through. Build those memorials and make them visible. Talk about them. Share what God has done. Amen. So I'm not expecting you to pray through all of that right now. I want to really encourage you to take time the next couple of weeks. But for this evening, I'm really trusting the Holy Spirit just to press on some specific things. Okay. Let's pray. Our Lord, we stand in awe, Lord, of your goodness. your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, God, that we're able to lift up our eyes, even though maybe even some of us are in a difficult spot right now. Thank you that we can lift up our eyes to you, Jesus. As your scripture says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because you endured the cross, Lord, despising the shame for the joy that was set before you. You endured that cross. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can stand still this evening, Lord, and we can yield our hearts to you. You know each heart so well. You know each person in this place. You know each one that will be listening maybe to this later, Father. Thank you that you know us. You know the disappointments that we've suffered. You know the hurts. You know the offenses that we've taken up, Lord. You know disillusionments maybe we've worked through, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for a grace upon every heart that we would humble ourselves, Lord. That we would yield to you. That we would choose, God, to cast aside every weight. And just where you're standing now, just as every eye is closed, just if you want to, won't you bring, maybe Holy Spirit is just pressing one or two things on your heart right now. Maybe something that's still hurting, maybe something that you need to resolve. Just, won't you just bring that before him now? Say, God, I thank you, Lord. This is painful for me. I really trusted you for that thing, or that was really a difficult moment for me. I want to just yield this to you, God. That you would restore my heart. That you would take out the heart, the hardness and the heart of stone. That you'd give me a heart of flesh again. Just bring that before him now. Maybe even visualize yourself taking off that big backpack of it. Casting that huge rock down at the cross. Saying, Lord, thank you that I can cast my cares upon you, Lord. Because you care for me. If you've been wrestling with unforgiveness and offense against somebody, won't you grab a hold of that grace that is available right now? Say, Lord, I choose. Freely I've received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Freely I choose to give it. Even if I don't feel like it, even if I don't feel I can trust this person, or even if I don't feel like it, God, and I choose to lay aside this weight, and I choose to extend forgiveness in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. God, I thank you, Lord, right now, that we can bring before you every fear that wants to grip our hearts. Every bit of doubt, Lord. Every bit of anxiety that wants to immobilize us spiritually. And we repent in the name of Jesus. If that's you, just bring that fear before him and allow the scripture says the perfect love of God casts out every fear. Allow the perfect love of God to bring peace in the name of Jesus. So right now we take authority, God, over every fear and every anxiety and everything that would want to cause that. We take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ. We cast it off in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace in every heart tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you heal every hurt, that you restore, that you renew. I just feel specifically somebody here that has lost hope, has been praying for something for so long, and it's been so difficult lately to continue to persist in prayer. Maybe you're praying for a loved one's salvation, maybe you're trusting something else, but I feel God is saying, put your trust in me. It may take a while, but I'm never late. Father, we put our trust in you, Lord. I thank you that you restore hope right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for new hope, God, in the name of Jesus. I feel there's a lady here this evening that, just always every eye's closed, there's a lady here that you've been disappointed in the area of relationships. Work through some heavy disappointments and discouragements. I feel God is drawing you near to Himself this evening. He said, my daughter, I know. I know what you're going through. I know your heart. Won't you trust me with your heart again? Won't you give your heart again that I can heal, that I can restore, that I can protect, that I can cover you. I can't do that if you're holding on to this on your own. I need you to trust me. I need you to open your heart again. In Jesus' name. If that's you, won't you just respond to Him just where you are? Just do business with God. Just to open your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, just for your presence here. Thank you that you're ministering to your children. That's why every eye is closed. If you're standing here this evening and maybe you've been around church and you've heard a lot about God and maybe you've never had an absolute assurance of salvation, I feel this evening God wants to give you that assurance. Maybe you've had some sort of relationship with God in the past, but where you are right now, you know that you are not right with God. You are not sure that you have eternal life. You have a desire in your heart to know Him more intimately. You have a desire to know His voice. You want to really be His child. You want to follow Him. You want to lay aside the weight of sin and receive His forgiveness. Because the reality is that this evening He's extending an invitation to you, saying, my daughter, my son, I love you so much. I've given my son in your place so that you can have life, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can enjoy relationship with me through the difficult times and through the good times, that you can know that I'm with you. So while every eye is closed, if that's you this evening and you want to receive that gift of salvation this evening, you want to take a hold of His hand that He's extending to you, and you want to say, Lord, I repent of my sin and I want to follow you. If that's you, won't you slip up your hand for a moment this evening? Nobody's watching. All eyes are closed. Just for a moment, I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Just as just a sign to God. Say, Lord, here I am. You know me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for those hands. I just feel, let's just briefly bring our hearts before God. And I want to lead us in a prayer. Won't you just pray after me for a moment? Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Father God, thank you that you love me so much that you gave your son for me. And right now, Lord, I humble myself and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Lord and my Savior, and that God has raised Him from the dead, that He is alive, and I serve Him from this day. Thank you, Lord, for your peace in my heart right now. I thank you that I can have absolute assurance that I have eternal life. And that you will never leave me nor forsake me. That I can hear your voice. That I can follow you. That you empower me by your Spirit. And that you fill me to overflowing. thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.